Here we go. Part two of Metron. And let's see our mascot there, Jet. Yeah, there he is. And that is our mascot. That's Metron right there. And he's very, very authoritative. And he is dressed in a suit, and he has taken dominion in a city, and the flying demons are terrified. And so that's us. That's a picture of us right here. And we're going to talk about Metron. We started last week, and we need to understand that there is a difference between universal authority and positional authority. So we talked about that last week. You need to go watch that message if you weren't here. But there is a big difference. Universal, simply stated, is authority that we all have. We can all cast out demons, for example, as long as we align ourselves with God and with Scripture, we can do that. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. God's given us authority over all power of the enemy. We can bind and we can loose, all of those different things. That's universal authority. And there's some big teachings on that we need to grab hold of, because very few actually live in fullness when it comes to their universal spiritual authority. But then there's positional authority. Positional authority is different. This is how we operate within spiritual boundaries. And everybody has a different metron, different boundaries. And it's in the spiritual realm. It's in the church, and it's also, we could talk about it in the workplace, just in the world in which we live, in the family. And so let me read this to you. At its most basic, metron means measure. It's the measure of authority, position, and influence that God has given us. It's different for everybody, okay? And so when we talk about universal spiritual authority, I mean, it's quite easy to get excited about the limitless possibilities. But when we're talking about metron, the definition really focuses on what the limits are. So there are limits to our positional authority. Jonas Clark said this: a true apostolic ministry paradigm is one that gathers, teaches, equips, assigns, targets, builds, shapes, raises, disciples, and deploys teams. Today, thousands of churches have no apostolic structure in place to move people beyond a teaching or pastoring only structure into apostolic ministry. Spiritual jurisdiction is the right power or authority to exercise dominion. And so, for example, there have been multiple times in different churches that I've been in, one in particular in Colorado, where there was an assignment in the city, and I was there. I had my church in this particular city. Other intercessors came from outside. I had a key role. It was important that I was there because I had regional authority in that city that they did not, right? And so we'll see that here in Branson. God will raise up people here in this church, different churches, where they are going to have regional authority to do some things that maybe someone like a visiting evangelist or someone else, they're not going to have the authority to do that. It's the metron. What is your metron? What can you do? What can you not do? It's very important to know this, because a lot of difficulties in the church come when people try to operate beyond their metron. Happens all the time. We need to operate within our metron. Today is Mother's Day. Mothers have a metron in the family. They do. When I was growing up, my mom and my dad, they were very, very different. They had different metrons, different authority. They exercised their authority in different ways. And, my dad, if I ever got into trouble, I would always want it to be my dad that administered the appropriate punishment. And he would go into the room, as a little kiddo, and he'd come in and he would have the belt. And I was really good at getting my dad to laugh. I could get him to laugh, and then it was all good. However, my mom, she had a different story. She would grab the wire, the old school wire hangers, And she would go all Metron all over my booty. Oh, man, you did not want mom functioning in her Metron. And she was a great, great mom. But, you know, there was those moments where I had it coming to me. And for whatever, I don't know why I was such a good boy. And, you know, I was even in, I was such a good boy. In public school in Arkansas, we moved from Chicago to Omaha, Arkansas. You know, millions of people to 191 people in Omaha, Arkansas. And the culture shock was something I can't even describe to you. So my transition was a little bit different, and I struggled a little bit to transition. And there I was in junior high, and I don't know what it is with junior hires. They're the worst. And I mean, they're awesome. But I was, you know, I was excellent at spitwads. Has anybody ever? I mean, I was great at it. I was very good. And I got this big old spitwad and just shot it across the room, plunk, right into this dude's eye. Plunk. So Metron came into play, and they had corporal punishment down there in Omaha, Arkansas. Woo! Oh, I still remember it. And they got the wooden paddle, bend over, grab your ankles, boom! Ow! Boom! Ow! Tears actually start coming out of your eyes. Ow! I got this great idea in wood shop after I had completed my project. I'm going to make a wooden paddle, and I'm going to drill all these holes in it. And I did that, and I got all my friends in school to sign it, and I had my cool wooden paddle, brought it home. Metron! Like, hey, how convenient this is. And I'm like, what? Boom! And this is what has made me into the man I am today. That explains a lot, I'm sure. But it's Metron. Now, we can go a little serious for a moment, right? Is it possible for someone to operate beyond their Metron and step into maybe even abuse? Is that possible? Yes, right? They can go beyond their Metron. You really don't have the authority to take it to that level or to do that. You don't have authority. See it in the workplace. Someone doesn't have the authority to give those instructions. See it in the church. I see it in the church a lot where somebody tries to have influence in a way that they simply do not, it's not their Metron. Right? And the Metron, you grow into it. Metron is determined by a lot of things, including your character development, your maturity, your surrender, your holiness, whether you're living in sin, acknowledgement by other leaders. You know, this is where even ordination comes into play and things like that. And so your Metron changes, and it changes as you grow. When an apostle builds a local church, it becomes a place of spiritual jurisdiction and influence with the power and authority of God to rule and reign in the territory. Apostolic believers understand the responsibility to reach that territory and possess a different orientation of ministry because they fully discern the overall scope of the local church. I love this. This is us. So we didn't just start this local church for the sake of having a local church. Lord Jesus, no, that's not who we are. It's not what we do. We don't do this just to gather. We don't do it just to come together and worship, even though that's great and awesome and wonderful. We don't do it even just to come together and pray. We are doing it. We meet together for the purpose of seeing widespread revival in Branson. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing it. If that wasn't the goal, I wouldn't be here. I would be taking Sunday off or going to a church somewhere else or doing something like that. We are here to see impact in the city. My heart has been, breaking, and I shared this, I think, last week. In Detroit, I sent out 200 copies of my books to 200 pastors. Never heard from one of them. Never got a thank you note, not at all, nothing. And started doing that here in Branson, sending another book to some pastors. And the only feedback I've gotten so far is from one pastor who said, hey, basically, thank you. We're involved in what we're doing, and we're excited about what we're doing. And basically, thanks and see ya. And it just breaks my heart. The local must yield to the regional. I write about this in 20 Elements of Revival. The local must yield to the regional. The local church is simply a department of the greater city church. The city, the church in Scripture is defined by the city or the region, not by the street corner. So we don't have the option to just be an island to ourselves and to do our own thing, right? We can give our all when we're doing our thing. We do that around here, but we're simply a department of the church. You know, it's as if, for example, in a church, you know, the youth ministry, and they didn't do anything with the greater church, and they just hid in the youth room and did their own thing. Doesn't make sense, right? We need to understand the apostolic church. Assigned places of spiritual jurisdiction are called metrons. It's a Greek word for measure. The understanding of metrons is vital to every believer because it is the believers who are sent out from the local church to occupy these territories. The apostolic dimension of a local governing church activates and empowers every believer as a sent one to invade and occupy God-given metrons. So around here, you know, you could talk about metron and get all on your soapbox and get all excited about your authority. There's a lot of that out there in the apostolic world, and I've seen a lot of it, and people are just trumpeting the fact they're an apostle or I'm a prophet, and, you know, they're building their own kingdom, and we want nothing to do with that around here. My heart, as I have said, even though I'm excited about being here for a long time, it's to work myself out of a job. I'm not that excited about myself. I've been doing this for 30 years. Every year, I've been losing more and more excitement about myself. I know what I'm called to do. I know what causes me to come alive. But now I'm in a place. I simply want to see you and others step into your metron. I want to see that. How cool would it be if there came a point and this ministry matured and there was a fiery or two or three or four fiery, anointed, powerful men or women of God that would be giving leadership even up here preaching most every week? How cool would that be? And I jump in once a week or once a month rather, and I would love that. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see you all step into whatever role God has called you to step into. And that's why we have the School of Revival. 2 Corinthians 10, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we do not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure or the metron of the rule which God has distributed to us. A measure or a metron to reach even unto you. So we're not getting excited about ourselves. Let me read this to you. Someone by the name of Nija said this. When God gives you a calling, authority, or a position, it's important to know where your metron is. A metron is a sphere of influence and a position of authority or power. It's super important to know what God has called you to. For me, an apostle in business, it's even more important to know what he's calling me to speak about publicly and what he's calling me to just intercede and pray about. Just because people are begging you to tell them how you feel or what your opinion is doesn't mean you should speak on it. People make the mistake that if God gives them any kind of authority, they may think that they're supposed to talk about everything. That's a major misunderstanding. It's not about staying in your lane. It's knowing what you are called to. Some people give themselves useless casualties and troubles by getting themselves all caught up in the things they have an opinion on. Know about what Holy Spirit is calling you to speak publicly on social media about. There's an ease, help, authority, and more important protection to where you are called. And this is why it's so important to have an intimate relationship with God and not just speaking off the top of our head or knowing what a Bible verse says. Lynn Packer said this, the apostle Paul understood that he was not an apostle to all people. He had a sphere of influence which included the Corinthian believers. Very interesting. 2 Corinthians 10:13. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. Okay? It says, but we will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. So even Paul, he's acknowledging his metron was limited. Metron is always limited. There's a measure. Where do you function? Where are you called to? You know, as an example, it just came to mind. You know, we had the School of Revival, and there came a point, and it happened with a few different ones, but, you know, for example, Joni, people started to acknowledge Joni. Joni, you're stepping up into leadership. Joni, you're stepping up into deliverance. You know, Joni knows that she's called to deliverance. So we got a couple elements there. People are seeing it on her. She sees it on herself. Then Joni's passing tests. She's staying faithful. So there's another element. Joni and I had discussions about theological direction, and we made some shifts, and then she, you know, so that test was passed. You know, there's character and humility, and pass. All of this is going on. So she has developed, even though there's not an official title or anything like that, she has developed a metron regarding deliverance and leadership. Right? Would you all agree? Some of you would agree that's you can see that that metron. You know, my wife has got this metron. She's got multiple metrons, but like the leadership of the ladies on Thursdays, she's got that going on. That's working. Leadership of our business, on and on. So there's different metrons. You know, Kylette stepping up in the prophetic. There's a metron being developed there, and I love watching it develop. It's like when I went to the Science Museum, and you're looking at the chicken eggs, and they put them in there right when they're supposed to be kind of cracking out of there, and you're watching, and they're moving just a little bit, and then all of a sudden, and you see this little beak popping through there, and they're developing, you know, their metron was the egg. Now their metron's a little different. It's like, wow, I can function now in a different world. So we're seeing that. We're seeing people kind of pop out and move into some different things. And I love watching that happen. If you're called to be a prophet, you need to understand that you will not be a prophet to everyone everywhere, but you will be a prophet to someone, some group, somewhere. You cannot assume that your call to be a prophet automatically gives you right to speak into anyone's life anywhere. Metron means, another definition, a determined extent, portion measured off, measure or limit, or in other words, a sphere of authority, anointing, and influence. Operating within that will bring a release of power assigned to that sphere of authority and flow, and a flow and ease in ministry. But operating outside it will cause problems. And it does. You start operating outside of your metron, and you don't have the flow. You don't have the peace. You don't have the ease. When you start operating outside of your metron, now you've got to start to use some other tools that the enemy will gladly give you. Tools of manipulation, tools of witchcraft, tools of dominance, tools of force, tools of even accusation, tools of gossip. Things aren't going the way that I want them to go. So now these are the tools that I'm going to use to get things going the way I want them to go. You're outside of your metron. You're not living in your metron. And whenever you're outside of your metron, witchcraft is the tool that most generally is used. And of course, we wouldn't want to think about it that way, but gossip is witchcraft, it's rebellion. And so we got to be very, very careful. Metron reveals our authority and also our limits. So you got to ask yourself the question, regarding your metron. And remember, it grows and it develops, and there's different metrons depending on where you are in life. There's a metron in the church and a metron in business and at school. What has God called you to? What has he said to you personally? It's a big one. You got to know. What has he called you to? What do those in leadership and those around you recognize as your gift and current level of authority in it? Other people will acknowledge. They'll let you know. A good leader will only set restrictions to keep you safe in your ministry and to help you grow, never to hold you down or back. As they see your faithfulness, teachability, and an anointing level grow, those restrictions will change and you'll be given more freedom to minister. So again, what is your assignment? Where have you had patterns of success? Where do you have faith? You know, one metron for Amy and me both, I guess, well, certainly would be what she talked about a moment ago with finances. We have a measure of faith. We have some wisdom. We have some experience. We own a business. We've learned lessons. We've had failures. We've seen miracles happen. You know, this kind of stuff's going on. So we've got a metron in that area we live in. But there's limits to that metron, and we talk about it all the time. You know, we talk about, well, should we take our business, our escape room business, and should we start just launching them all over the nation? And I want to do that often because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm like, let's build, build, build. We've held back. We did try to do it once, and we went out to the East Coast, and we tried, and we tried, and we tried, and we tried, and didn't work, didn't come together, right? So we were careful, and our metron, our sphere, apparently didn't take us over there, right? We needed to stay within our sphere. You know, we've got financial decisions coming up. You know, how do we handle those decisions? But knowing how God works in our life is in that way, it gives peace. It gives peace as opposed to financial stress and freaking out and fear, right? There's peace there. I'm going to go over one last segment here, and then next week we're going to finish this up with, well, it's kind of a different kind of a related focus that I'm going to bring next week regarding how to function in the church. Is there hierarchy in the church? You know, I talked about that a little bit last week, and it's something that's very, very tough for some people to deal with because of poor leadership in the past. But I'm going to talk about that, and we're going to look at how God really wants us to let the Holy Spirit move in a church service. I think it's going to be a really good message. I've shared it online, and I want to encourage you to be here next week for that. But let's finish this one up with how about we just get black and white? Let's just get black and white with this. I am a big believer in authority. You should all read John Bevere's book, Undercover. Excellent, excellent book. He deals straight up with it, authority in the church. But let's look at this. I believe there's safety, as we said a moment ago, there's safety when we understand our metron, okay, in the church. A structure in the church, a government is what it is, in the church is critical. Intercessors can get hit if they are not covered by apostles and prophets. That's why I believe it can be dangerous just to have people, especially if they're moving in rebellion. I don't like what's going on in the church. All I want to do is go deep in God. I'm going to gather some intercessors over here, and we're going to go after this thing in the city. I think it's very dangerous. I believe we need apostles. We need prophets. We need people to undergird, to support, to be there. I believe the church government demands that. Accountability, honor of authority, covering of authority, all of that ensures the church is healthy, safe, and strong. And let me just tell you straight up, since we're being black and white, I'm not a guy that I'm looking for you to prop me up or throw me a parade. I don't care about that at all. I'm one of you. We're all the same in many ways. We're moving at the same pace. I love the fact that we're doing that. I believe some of you are going to outrun me, outpace me. You're going to blow my mind. I'm going to be like, whoa, look at that person go. I believe all of that. I embrace to the best of my ability humility. I do not ever want pride to rise up. I certainly don't ever want a spirit of control. I don't ever want to be that kind of a leader ever, ever, ever. If I ever get to that point, you can know there's one person in the room that will help me acknowledge that. Everybody say thank you, Amy. She will make sure. We'll have little powwows, and she's like, John, I just think maybe you're communicating something a little bit wrong. Is there, yeah? I'm like, no, it was the Holy Spirit. Okay, no, I guess not. It was probably not the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am. And then we go on, and then life is good. But I listen. I try to listen. But I really want you to know that, because I'm gonna just punch this. But I want you to know, I'm like you. I do not appreciate overbearing, controlling, snobbish, arrogant leadership. I don't like that. I don't think anybody does. I want to do my best to be a servant leader, okay? That being said, I do affirm bold leadership, bold leadership, and I do affirm Metron. I do affirm that we have different positions and different roles, and when we do it well, it works beautifully, all right? So this principle is true in everyday life just as it is in the church. We do want order. We do want structure. In the workplace, there are those who outrank us. Police officers outrank us. Judges outrank us. You know, my son, he's working for a federal judge. My son is a very, very respectful of this judge, who, by the way, is as normal a guy as you'll know, just as casual and cool as can be, but he's the judge. My son calls him judge. He doesn't call him by his first name. That's just how he's chosen to do that. There's honor, there's respect. He understands his metron, my son does. Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. This is why I am very, very careful. I've shared this before. I'm very careful regarding how I talk about those in authority. I do not disparage the president of the United States. I don't shame. I don't speak against. I don't mock. I don't make fun. I do my best to live an honorable life because I don't want judgment coming on me. I don't want that. That's what it's saying right here. Now it says this, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good. It's simple, and you will receive his approval. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, in the church, this is not about obey me, I'm your leader. It's not about that at all. It's about, come on, let's work together. I'm praying for you. I'm going to battle for you. I'm contending for you. I wake up in the night praying for you. You know, I'm interceding for you. We're going after this. We're believing that God's going to do great things. I want to see you step up. Can we work together? Can we not have schisms? Can we not have battles? You know, can we not do that? Can we go after this thing together is really what it's saying. This is not something to where leaders get all excited because people have to submit to them. It says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Those who don't believe in biblical authority or in leadership are usually silent when they hear these verses, or they are triggered. Let's talk about it some more. You know, remember, our authority increases as we honor authorities. Our authority increases as we honor our authorities. And authorities who demand honor will lose their authority. Let God take care of it. If there are leaders out there demanding honor, leave them in God's hands, right? Just bless, right? 2 Corinthians 10:8, for even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. Titus 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. All the time, guys, online especially, show courtesy, be kind, right? Be kind to people. There's so much hatred out there, all over social, just so much, and Christians are doing this, and it's just grieving. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you, who are over you in the Lord. I mean, this is about rank. And admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And then one more passage, 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That's powerful. That's powerful. I'm going to end that right there. But in my life, I'm as human as they come. And I've struggled. I have grown. I have failed. I have learned about this. And I know this. Honoring those in leadership is absolutely, without question, the fastest way to promotion, the fastest way to the grace of God, the fastest way to receiving for your metron to develop and to grow. You know, again, I mean, I think I'm going a little overboard even in saying it, but I think I should. I am not excited about my own thing. I'm not excited about me. I'm not excited. I'm just not. But I do know I have an assignment. I do know that. I do know that I have a calling. I do know that I have a mandate. I do know that I have a job to do. And I do know that as those of you step up into position and your metron develops and I watch that happen and I do what I'm called to do and I let you do what you are called to do, and then we hopefully we don't do what we're not called to do, and we move without breaking rank. We see that in scripture, moving together. If we can do that, I'm telling you what, man, there's going to be great peace. There's going to be great love. There's going to be great unity. You're not going to be jealous of somebody else who's being favored, who's being promoted, whose metron's increasing. No jealousy at all. You'll be challenged by them. You'll be rooting them on, cheerleading, excited, covering them, praying for them. God will then start to develop your metron. It'll start to grow. The whole thing is going to work. I'll be able to lead the way God has called me to lead, and you know, I don't care if Revival X is here in 10 years. What I do care about is if Revival is in Branson in 10 years. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to build a kingdom here. I'm looking to see the kingdom of God advance in Branson. That's what I'm all about. Amen? Amen. Stand up with me. Knowing your metron and honoring other people's metron is the secret to success. Knowing your metron and honoring other people's metrons is a secret to success. Some of you might have been in a place where maybe you have been triggered because of poor authority in the past. Others of you, maybe there's jealousy as you watch other people step into a greater sphere of authority. Maybe they've been acknowledged in ways that frustrate you, and you're thinking, how in the world can they be acknowledged? I'm better fit for that job, right? We have those thoughts. And I just want to encourage you, just crucify the jealousy. Kill it. Just kill it. And start to celebrate and honor other people as they function in their metron. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us. Here we are on Mother's Day. We celebrate the metron of mothers and of ladies. We celebrate that. We need to do a better job at celebrating that. I need to do a better job of celebrating that. In marriages, there's a metron that the man has, there's a metron that the lady has, and there should not be a battle between the two. There should be honor. There should be honor. There's a metron that they share together. They share it together. No battles. None. Just honor. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us right now. I see a group of people here, Lord, who are going to grow and grow and grow. Their position, their authority, their metron's going to grow. They're going to step into it. They're going to serve with passion. They're going to go low. Humility is going to drive this thing. But God, they're going to get the job done, whatever job they have. They're going to get it done. Lord, some people, even maybe at work or maybe at school, God, if there's any conviction that needs to come on how they have responded to others who have authority over them, Lord, we just repent for attitudes. Maybe it's politics. We haven't done a good job of honoring and blessing maybe the president, maybe the mayor, aldermen, different ones who have influence. Maybe it's a police officer who pulled us over. We have attitude about them. Lord, I pray you just forgive us of all of this. Forgive us, forgive us. If there's been any bickering in the family, forgive us. Jealousy, forgive us. Forgive us, God. We just surrender. On Mother's Day today, on Mother's Day, we surrender. We surrender jealousy. We surrender backbiting. We repent of that. We repent. We repent of all of that. We repent for not honoring and loving. We repent. God, I stand here just positionally and repent for leaders who have overstepped their authority. God, if I've ever overstepped mine, forgive me. Please forgive me. If I've not stepped out in my authority the way I'm supposed to, forgive me. God, I want to see everybody in this room come alive. I want to see them absolutely come alive. As we surrender, as we repent, as we go hard after you, I do believe, God, that we're going to see some incredible things happen. I do believe we're going to see miracles. I do believe we're going to see healings manifest through people. We renounce, we were doing this downstairs, we renounce all witchcraft. All witchcraft. Control, manipulation, rebellion. We renounce that. I renounce that in my life. I renounce it here. There's a movement of witchcraft that I learned about here in the area. It's a spirit of witchcraft, and we're coming against that. We declare the Holy Spirit has freedom to move. But God, you've got to start first with us. Come on, let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless authority of old. We release them, we forgive them, we bless them, we honor them. Lord, we honor you, God. We honor the process. We honor those that you have put in authority. God, we pray blessing over them, blessing over the president, blessing over judges, police officers. We pray blessing, God, over pastors, blessing, God. We honor them. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us take that step to where we know who we are, we know what we're called to, we know how to function in that, we go low, we embrace humility, we walk in authority, we don't go beyond the bounds of our authority, we're alive, we're full of joy. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the love and the life of God would fill all of us today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, for the equipping here, that people would just continue to grow, that you would give us strategies. When is the next school of revival to take place? What are we supposed to be doing strategically? I pray we would grow. I pray we would intentionally develop. We would see intercessors come. We would see kings and priests. We would see those, God, that are going to give great leadership in the region. We pray for other churches. God, I pray for other pastors. God, let those authorities in this region, let them know, God. Lord, we honor them. We respect them. We pray for them. Pastors of other churches, Lord, leaders and prophets and apostles. And I pray, God, that you would bless them this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. I'm telling you, guys, great, great personal freedom will come as you embrace this message. Great personal freedom. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's incredible. There are things that you are called to do. There are things that you're not called to do. Knowing what those things are is critical. God, I pray you would give us a healthy church, a healthy movement of revival here. We love you, Jesus.